welcome to another broadcast that we call Plain and Simple. We're looking at Elijah. He's in God's training program. Be sure and stay tuned for our broadcast today. Broadcast, we saw that God had sent Elijah to Cherith. He was there for his training program. Cherith means cutting, and that's exactly what needed to happen with Elijah. There needed to be some things in his life that needed to be cut away. We see here that Cherith was near the Jordan, and Jordan is a picture of death to self. And as we said in our last broadcast, God is not interested in using a dedicated self. God wants a dead self, someone who is totally crucified, as Paul the Apostle said that he was. Yet, nevertheless, he said, I live. He rose and went on to do something for God once he had gone through what Elijah needed to go through here, a cutting. Then he moves on from there to Zarephath. And Zarephath means a refining, and to refine is to get rid of some unwanted elements, and so that is exactly what is happening now as we get to the second stage of Elijah's training program. We see that in the first place he was fed by the ravens, and now he's coming to Zarephath, and he is going to be fed by a widow. It's getting better. You'll find a little later in the story he is fed by angels, and that's even better still. So we're in the 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're starting here again in verse number 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there. Now we said in our last broadcast, you better be where God wants you to be if you want to be taken care of. The woman was there, Elijah was there, everybody was where God wanted them to be. And she was gathering sticks. And he, Elijah, called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, he's had this trek through the wilderness, and through that trek, he's been trusting God. We need to learn that God's ways are not our ways. And then there's another test, and that was timing. Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to be in the wilderness alone with God for a while? That's exactly what happened with many of the heroes that we like to read about in the Bible. They were in God's wilderness. They needed to learn God's ways, and they needed to learn to wait. There's a real test here regarding the widow and Elijah and what happens here concerning the widow and Elijah. It says in verse number 11, and as she was going to fetch it, that is water, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now, water, go and fetch the water. The bread was even a bigger test because she only had a little bit of it left, not for her and her son. Verse 12 says, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. We're out of everything. We have no more food. Now notice she says in verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Thy God, Elijah's God. You see, she was a Gentile. Well, verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now here's a major test, a big test. For the widow to take this last bit of bread that she has and give it to this stranger. Amazing how God is working here. The bigger test is for Elijah. He said, make me first. Make me. Give me a little cake. And bring it unto me and then take care of yourself. Why would he say that? Well, verse 14 is very plain. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is exactly what God wanted Elijah to do, and it was a major test for Elijah to say this. Take the last meal away from that widow and let her feed you. Remember, we said that the prophets were supposed to be taking care of widows, not widows taking care of prophets, and especially giving up their last meal for one. And so it was a real test. It was a humbling time in the life of Elijah. So, verse 14, Elijah said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now notice here, Elijah's learning. He's getting things cut away. He's getting refined. Because back when he was talking to Ahab, he said, "It's not going to rain until I send rain upon the earth." And that's why God had to send Elijah out in the back of the desert here and in the wilderness and do a little bit of cutting away and do a little bit of refining. And now he's beginning to get it. And he says to the lady, the widow, "It's not going to rain until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Big difference here. Well, we read in verse number 15, "She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." Great test for this widow, but she did it. And when you do what you know God wants you to do, things are going to be a lot better. So in Elijah, we read of him in verse 5, he went and did. The widow, we read of her in verse 15, she went and did. And 16 says, "The barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto Elijah." Now, they're living by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We have a pretty sad picture of what faith really is. You want to live by faith? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us all about it. Abel, would you like to live by faith? Yes, I would. Well, you're going to die young. Your brother's going to kill you. You still want to live by faith? Yeah. Enoch, you want to live by faith? Yeah. Well, you ever had an idea that maybe someday you'd get married and have a nice family? No. You're going to be alone. There's not going to be any marriage. You're going to walk alone with me. You want to live by faith, Enoch? Noah, you want to live by faith? Yes, sir, I sure do. Oh, then you'll work for me 120 years, build a funny-looking boat, and nobody will get on it. That's living by faith. Abraham, you want to live by faith? Yes, I do. Well, what I want you to do is leave Ur of the Chaldees. You got a pretty nice castle there, and he did, a fancy home. I want you to leave that, and I want you to just go where I tell you to go. Okay, can you imagine talking to your wife and saying, "We're going to leave. Where are we going? I don't know. We get to the end of the driveway. We get to the end of the driveway, God will tell me the next step." You want to live by faith? That's what Abraham did. You want to live by faith, Sarah? Yes, I would like to live by faith. Well, then you go with your husband here and leave your home and leave your furnishings and go live out in the wilderness in a tent. You want to live by faith, Sarah? Joseph, would you like to live by faith? Yeah. Well, okay then, we're going to put you back in the pit. We're going to throw you in the pit for a while, and your brothers are all going to hate you, and then you're going to be in the prison. Oh, no, I like the palace part. You know, we go to the pit, we go to the prison, we ended up in the palace. No, if you want to live by faith, you're going to be in prison for a few years after your brothers sell you into slavery. Moses, do you want to live by faith? Yeah, I want to live by faith. Well, if you want to wander around the wilderness for 40 years, oh, I thought by living by faith, it wouldn't be like that. You want to live by faith? Yeah, I do. Gideon, you want to live by faith? Yep, then I want you to go and battle all those Midianites. How am I going to do that? I don't have any equipment. Yeah, you have a pitcher and you have some candles. Let's go. Shamgar, you want to live by faith? Yeah, you're going to do it with an ox goad. The widow, you want to live by faith? You want to live by faith? Yes, I do. Well, you're going to have to give up your last morsel and watch your son die. You want to do that? He won't die, but, you know, you trust me? You want to live by faith, right? Elijah, you want to live by faith? You're going to have to be at the brook. You're going to have birds feeding you and stuff like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you want to live by faith? Yeah, I guess that means we'll have a great revival, right? No, you're going in the fire. We're going to throw you in the furnace. Daniel, would you like to live by faith? Yes, I'd like to do a lot for God. What are you going to do, Daniel? I'm going to live for you. Yeah, in the den of lions. Oh, disciples, you want to live by faith? You're going to suffer persecution and death. Paul the Apostle, would you like to live by faith? You'll be beaten, battered, and you'll be whipped, and you'll be shipwrecked, and you'll be thrown in prison, and most everybody that you tried to serve, get to serve the Lord, they'll forsake you, and you'll stand alone before Caesar. You know, we get an idea that living by faith has something to do with God answering our prayers. Living by faith is doing something that we don't understand. When God says, "I want you to do this," go and live by faith. Just do what I tell you to do. And so for Elijah, I think, again, as I said before, he came out of that cornfield somewhere, out of nowhere, there's Elijah. And God said, I want you to go in and tell that king, I want you to tell that wicked Ahab exactly what we're going to do here. He goes in and tells him, and I'm thinking that Elijah's thinking, wow, this is going to be great. We're going to have a great following and so on. Be like that at all. You're going to go out there to the Brook Cherith and spend a year or so there, and you're going to have to learn to get a few things cut out of your life. That's living by faith. And then you're going to have to go to Zarephath, and that's a 100-mile trek. You're going into Jezebel's country. You're going into Gentile country. You're going into the center of Baal worship. You're not going to find too many friends over there. You want to live by faith, Elijah? Yeah, I do. Okay, then get on with that trek, 100 miles. How am I going to eat? Well, I'll take care of you. How am I going to drink? I'll take care of you. And then he gets to this widow, and the widow's going to take care of him. That's backwards to how things we think should be. You want to live by faith? Yes, I want to live by faith. It's not at all like we think. We think living by faith is getting our little requests into God, and God's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of us if we will just live by faith according to his definition of the term. Well, as the story goes on here, we see in verse number 17, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Boy, are we going to have any faith now? 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Well, she certainly failed here. This is the same Elijah that got her something to eat and her son something to eat, and they were taken care of miraculously because God used Elijah to do it. Now, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Remember, she's a Gentile. She failed. She failed a major test. And it was a major test at this point for Elijah. What are you going to do with this woman? I mean, you know, a lot of people would just say, I've had enough of this, I'm out of here. I've done everything I can do to help you. I've saved your child in the first place, and you talk to me like that? No, this is not what Elijah did. What he did do was he had a Christ-like compassion for this lady who was emotionally out of control. And he said in verse 19 unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Well, verse 20, he cried unto the Lord. Here's Elijah's complaint. He said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. See, everything is okay. Well, and we get into chapter 18, and we'll have to look at it in our next broadcast. It says here, and it came to pass that after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, it is the third year, and the word of the Lord came. Chapter 17:2, the word of the Lord. 17:5, the word of the Lord. 17:8, the word of the Lord. Verse 16, the word of the Lord. Verse 24, the word of the Lord. And here we have it again in verse number 1 of chapter 18, the word of the Lord came. Well, there it is, plain and simple. Be sure and tune in as we get into the next stage when Elijah comes out of his training program and goes to confront Ahab.